The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I want to touch on kind of in what you just shared around, you know, asking a friend or someone that you know for advice. Oftentimes when it comes to advice that people are seeking, mm-hmm. people most of the time already know the answer, or at least have that answer on their radar.
Right. They just want to like confirm what they think is right. Right.
Right. They want, you know, it's, they either want validation that that their thought is kind of the right direction, or the other thing that people might want is, all right, if I listen to somebody else's advice and it doesn't work out, it's not my fault.
Right.
And we are masters as humans. We are masters at avoiding what we perceive to be failure,
right?
Because that's going to make us feel less adequate, you know, not worthy, not good at what we're doing. And that's one of the big things that I see and that I help people work through is we take a lot of things that we see as mistakes, which like, that's a judgment. You can look at it as a mistake. You can look at it as a piece of data that you can now learn from.
It's perspective. Exactly.
Right. But if you're always living in fear of making a mistake with a decision, of course you're going to be stuck. It's going to take you longer to make decisions. But the reason you're stuck is because you don't want to make the wrong decision. The reason you don't want to make the wrong decision is because you're assuming what making a wrong decision means about yourself.
Right.
So if I make this wrong decision, that means I'm a bad entrepreneur.
Right. The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. Kieran Lenahan is a coach who focuses on working with Christian entrepreneurs and executives and tech startups. He's actually the reason that I got involved with PodMax. He introduced me to Josh and Eric, who run PodMax Global, and I'm happy to be here and have him on the podcast, and I hope you enjoy our discussion. All right, Kieran. So this is fun to do this interview. You and I had met. Who had introduced us? I can't even remember. I usually pick like a half a dozen people that could have introduced us, but do you remember who connected us? Originally,
we met at one of Sid's networking events.
Through Sid, okay, yeah, yeah. Sid's a one of those, you know, connection zero guys too. He connects everybody. So, And then you introduced me to Josh and Eric and brought me on PodMax, and now we're here doing an interview about you, which is cool. So why don't you talk about, for the listeners, even though I know your background, you know, what your background is and what you're doing now, because you're doing a lot of coaching, and then we can have a conversation about, you know, all the stuff that you're dealing with customers and stuff.
Cool. Yeah. So my background, I'll kind of start back in childhood and we'll quickly kind of work up to present day. But
okay.
I've always been kind of a shy person, always very observant, kind of noticing when I was a kid, what was the things that got people in trouble? What were the things that got people rewarded and kind of respected? I've always kind of studied human behavior, human psychology. At the same time, I was always entrepreneurial. I started selling candy in school from a very young age. I would buy the bulk Costco Airheads and other candies and mark up the prices and sell them to my classmates. I pretty much had a monopoly on the South Amboy Elementary School.
That's so funny.
And
you're like the go-to guy, like go to kid and he'll hook you up.
I was the go-to guy. And depending on how much I liked the person, the price might change. So not proud of those business practices from back in the day, but
That's what it was, right? Yeah. You always knew the guy who had all this stuff in his locker and he could hook you up with whatever you're looking for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so after that, I kind of followed the traditional path. I focused on getting good grades in school, get into a good high school, get good grades in high school, get into a good college.
Right.
Same thing in college. And then eventually found myself in a great job after graduating from undergrad where I studied, again, organizational psychology. So kind of this mix between human behavior and business and how organizations work.
And if I remember, you went to Davidson, right?
Davidson, right. Yeah. So if anybody is a basketball fan, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry came out of Davidson. Yep.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
And so after that, I found myself in a corporate job. I was in a managerial role very young. So I was in an operations role. I was doing project management, people management, and operations management, really focusing on improving processes and making the company more efficient. 2 to 3 years into that experience, I knew, all right, this is not what I want to be doing long-term. So after some soul searching for about a year, I went ahead and realized, again, I've always been entrepreneurial. I know I want to start a business by the time I'm 30. I also love working with people and kind of drawing the potential out of them and helping them get out of their own way and just realize they're capable of way more than they're actually giving themselves credit for.
Oh, always. Yeah, right. That's our biggest shortcoming.
Right. And so kind of while I was still working full-time in corporate, I actually went back to school and further studied like the skill set of coaching. How do I actually do this really well in a business setting and working with people? Uh-huh. And so through that process, I actually realized how much I had been holding myself back since I was a kid, but even in a corporate setting, there were meetings I'd be afraid to speak up in.
Right.
There would be ideas I'd be afraid to share because I didn't want to rock the boat or take a risk. And so throughout both learning how to coach, I also grew a lot personally and was able to really go through my own growth process of, man, where am I holding myself back? Where am I preventing myself from doing new things because I'm afraid of what might happen?
Right.
And so that was a huge period of just personal exploration and personal development for myself. So from there, my wife and I were in the process of becoming foster parents. Uh-huh. And so we were planning to start growing a family. So this kind of promise I'd made to myself of starting a business by the time I was 30, it came to a decision point of, all right, it's only going to get harder to walk away from a safe, cushy corporate
job. Of course, right.
As the kids start coming and get older, it's going to be really hard to walk away from, you know, the benefits, the salary, all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of a now or never, or it felt like that for me. So I decided at the end of 2019 to leave my full-time job. I had started the business in the summer that year on the side, but launched full-time at the end of last year. And so what I do now is I work with primarily faith-driven entrepreneurs and startup founders.
Okay.
So kind of ranging from small businesses all the way up to venture capital, raising founders looking to build multi-million dollar businesses.
Right. But faith and religion, big part of your life?
Yeah. So I can kind of share part of that story, but long story short, grew up Catholic, didn't really have my own faith. It was just a thing that we did. We went to church.
Yeah, same.
Up until fifth grade.
Right.
And then it wasn't until about 5 years ago that it kind of clicked for me. Finally realized what it meant, how it should impact every area of my life, not just Sundays. Like, how does it change how I am as a husband, as an employee, as a manager, as a leader, as a business owner?
Uh huh.
And so, yeah. So that's a big part of it. But yeah, so primarily what I do is I coach in one-on-one and small groups, entrepreneurs, and help them succeed in their business, kind of get out of their own way, grow their businesses, grow revenue, gain more customers without sacrificing their family life, their mental health, physical health, spiritual health. So it's kind of this, this focus on two things at once and making sure that they all kind of fit together and that the entrepreneurs are firing on all cylinders.
So are your clients tend to be solopreneurs or they have, you know, more established businesses in most cases, or, you know, what kind of things are you helping them balance?
Yeah, it ranges. So it ranges from solopreneurs who are on the younger side, who don't really have many of the family or other types of obligations. But for them, the focus tends to be on mental health. How do you navigate the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur? How do you, how do you focus on working on the business versus working in the business?
And big, kind of, big challenge,
you know,
right?
Think strategically while also being, you know, executionary. And then also people who are, have been in the business for a while, maybe have small teams and are managing people. So then it's about balancing, all right, maybe you have a family that you want to, you care about them. You want to give them a lot of your time and energy. But you also don't want to be super stressed out with trying to figure out how to balance work because you feel like you have to be working all these crazy hours. So, you know, sometimes I'm helping people figure out how can you get more done in less time by focusing on the things that really move the needle so that you can have more time for your family.
Little side question. Did you guys end up fostering kids?
Yeah. So we have one foster son right now. He's 11 months old.
Wow.
We've had him since he was 3.5 weeks old. So,
Right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go.
Right out of the wrapper.
Yeah. And then my wife is actually pregnant and due in about 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
It's a little bit less. So, yeah. So we're going to have quite the young squad here.
Yeah. You have no idea. Two under two is a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So excited for that.
So when's she due, did you say?
October 28th. So we're recording this on the 16th. So we're less than 2 weeks
away. You might have to drop off here all of a sudden.
It's possible. I've got my phone next to me. I have the bat signal on.
That'd be a first for the accidental entrepreneur. We went into labor during the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wish you the best. That's really awesome. The best things that I've ever done in my life is have kids and being able to, you know, raise kids. My brother-in-law in Florida, he has an older stepdaughter, but a daughter who's like, I guess the age of my youngest, about 14. And they ended up fostering a little girl and eventually adopted her. She lives with them. The mom had problems and I think died on drugs or something, but she's a sweet girl, little Zoe. Yeah. So, you have a big heart for stuff like that. It really opening up your home. So do you have any plans to adopt the foster child, or you think then they'll be moved? You'll be kids coming through all the time. You'll have like a boarding house.
That's a good question.
It's great. You know, I mean, you know,
yeah, I'll say kind of what the future holds is a little bit unknown. So with foster care, it's always kind of an up in the air thing. Typically, or always, the first goal is the state wants to reunify kids with their family, whether it's biological parents or other family members.
Right.
Fosters
generally not people that gave up their child on purpose. And those are more adoption, right?
Right. Typically. Yeah. So, so right now it's still kind of open. There's still a chance that he is reunified with his parents or with another family member. If none of those things panned out and he was going to be put up for adoption, we would 100% love to adopt him. He's our first kid. Yeah. We love him to death. So would absolutely adopt him, but it's still kind of up in the air for right now.
Yeah, right. I don't know a lot about the foster care system, but I can't imagine that it's a great way to grow up, you know, you can bounce around and stuff. He's probably lucky to have met you and your wife, I'm sure. All right, let's stick with the business stuff. It's going to be a heavy discussion. No. But you and I had met so a while back, and I know you were growing your business. So what kind of industries are you working with? I think you said you work with a lot of tech startup entrepreneurs type of people, right?
Yep. So most companies these days, if they're not service-based, kind of like a solopreneur, kind of more lifestyle type businesses, most of them involve tech. So tech is a space where I definitely play in a lot. But I don't care necessarily about the industry that people are in, more so about kind of their own personal character traits and approach to how they want to lead themselves and run a business. So by that, I kind of mean, and the things that I look for in working with people are, obviously you have to be open to being coached to work with a coach. If you're not, it's probably not going to be a good fit.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good experience for either of you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, people who understand the importance of mindset and the way that you think and how that impacts how you show up and then how you create results in your business. If you at least get that seed and you're open to learning more and exploring what are those areas where you might be getting in your own way, or you might be missing out on an opportunity because you're assuming that something isn't possible, or you're assuming that something won't work out. Those are some of the things that I look for in working with people beyond just kind of what industry are you in?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of it is about mindset and about awareness, and that's why you need to, in a lot of cases, need a coach, because you can't get out of your own, you can't step out of your own shoes and take a step back and say, well, what kind of advice? Like as a lawyer, I can give people advice all day long, and it's very easy because I'm not emotionally involved in their decision-making. And I could say, listen, it's very easy. You just don't do this and do that. But you know, it's harder when it comes to your own decision-making and seeing your own thing. And I think that, you know, people have to gain a perspective, and definitely coaching and having a mentor and somebody to guide you along and to see things from a different perspective makes a lot of sense. The most successful people in business have coaches and mentors and all that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
From sports to everything else, you know?
Exactly. That's such a great point, because, you know, you're hitting on one of the really big benefits of working with a coach. And I work with a coach myself because as a coach, I understand the benefit of it. And it's, you know, I started out kind of being a little bit prideful, like I can figure this out on my own, or
right,
I want to figure out
how to do it. Like being a psychologist, a lot of them have therapy with their colleagues.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you can certainly develop yourself and you can get better at things on your own. But when you work with an unbiased person who's not attached emotionally to like the ins and outs of what you're doing, you get this objective outside perspective to bounce things off of. And even by virtue of sometimes just talking to somebody about some of the things that are going through your head, you start to clarify all this stuff that seems so messy in your head. Yeah. So this outside perspective provides a lot of value. And then in addition to that, the accountability that comes with committing to somebody, hey, I'm going to do this by this time.
Right. Because then you got to tell them that you didn't do it or you were off.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. You can hide behind your overwhelmedness. I think people get overwhelmed with all the stuff that they may be trying to do, and they get paralyzed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like that's one of the biggest problems that people that I work with face. And it's one of the reasons why we start talking in the first place, is because they get into those ruts where they're paralysis analysis, right? They're at a decision point, and they're just spinning for days or for weeks.
Right.
And instead of spinning on that decision, if you like within one conversation, 45 minutes, we can get through three of those big decisions that you've been, you know, stuck on for weeks. And imagine how much time and effort and just heartache and headache that saves.
Oh my God. You just tear yourself apart from the inside out worrying about things. I think that that's a big problem, is that a lot of people worry about things and they overanalyze things, and 9 out of 10 of them are not going to happen, and they just have to make a decision. And that's where you come in, just to get them to move forward. You know, even with like employees, let's say, right. And I'm not sure if they understand or they trust. I got to do it myself. Your business is going to not implode because your employee screws up a little bit. Just not going to happen. There's no stories about, well, I let my assistant do this and the whole company fell apart. Like, I'm sure there's stories out there, but there's probably very few of those. And sometimes you just gotta do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be absolutely right. Whoever knows what that is anyway. And people, like you said, they just gotta move forward. And sometimes you need somebody to say, hey, just do this. It's not gonna hurt. The water's warm, but it's not burning. You know, just get in, let's give it a shot. And then I think what happens is you start to gain confidence in your decisions and you become less indecisive, right?
Yeah,
and for sure. That's where the relationship with a coach really works, because then you're really firing on all cylinders. And the funny thing is, you'd think from an outside perspective that, well, you know, once I work with Kieran and I'm making my decision going, you know, then I'll be good. And, you know, he'll go his direction. I won't need coaching anymore. But I find that the people that are the most successful people, they continue with the coaching, right? The people that go through the therapy and they've worked out a lot of things, they want to continue to do that. And that's the reality of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you experience it, it's hard for someone, typically in my experience, it's hard for people to kind of grasp and fully understand the value of of what you get out of working with a coach until you actually do it. And once you do, exactly like you said, you'll kind of realize, oh, this is for sure worth, like, I'm getting a return on my investment. Like, whatever I'm paying to work with my coach, I'm seeing 5, 7, 10 times that in return, because I'm getting out of my own head. I'm making decisions faster, I'm making better decisions.
Right.
And then you start to, at that point, you realize there's no reason to not be working with a coach.
Right.
So I've decided for myself, there will never be a time for the rest of my life that I'm not working with a coach, because it's that valuable.
For your own self-development. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like having a best friend, except that you actually have professional skills to help people with.
And they tell you, you know, some, I guess a good best friend will tell you things that you need to hear, not just what you want to hear.
Right.
But some best friends, maybe you don't. Some best friends, maybe, right? Because
they want to hurt your feelings, or they don't really have the skills, and they're trying to give you advice that they think is good, but they don't have any professional skills. So they don't work in the space. So you got to be careful about, you know, I get that, you know, I talked to a friend and he said this. I said, oh, your friend is a lawyer? Oh, no, they're not a lawyer. So why would you? You know, and it's something that's completely wrong. Like, you absolutely don't want to do that. You can't do it. It's too costly. It's not illegal, but it, you know, whatever. And we take advice sometimes from mm-hmm. the wrong places. So can you share some advice, tidbits, thoughts of how you coach and the things that you've seen people do and help them with? I think that would be valuable mm-hmm. to people that are listening.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and, most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. To learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I want to touch on kind of in what you just shared around, you know, asking a friend or someone that you know for advice. Oftentimes when it comes to advice that people are seeking, mm-hmm. people most of the time already know the answer, or at least have that answer on their radar.
Right. They just want to like confirm what they think is right. Right.
Right. They want, you know, it's, they either want validation that that their thought is kind of the right direction, or the other thing that people might want is, all right, if I listen to somebody else's advice and it doesn't work out, it's not my fault.
Right.
And we are masters as humans. We are masters at avoiding what we perceive to be failure,
right?
Because that's going to make us feel less adequate, you know, not worthy, not good at what we're doing. And that's one of the big things that I see and that I help people work through is we take a lot of things that we see as mistakes, which, like, that's a judgment. You can look at it as a mistake. You can look at it as a piece of data that you can now learn from.
It's perspective. Exactly.
Right. But if you're always living in fear of making a mistake with a decision, of course you're going to be stuck. It's going to take you longer to make decisions. But the reason you're stuck is because you don't want to make the wrong decision. The reason you don't want to make the wrong decision is because you're assuming what making a wrong decision means about yourself.
Right.
So if I make this wrong decision, that means I'm a bad entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. That's kind of the core thought underlying that fear and that being stuck.
Right.
We need to disentangle that and help you realize that's not actually true. Because as long as you operate on that assumption, you're going to be fearful of making decisions.
Of course. I mean, the best entrepreneurs make mistakes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
because we're just, that's human nature. We make mistakes, and you can recover from those and learn from those. I think making mistakes is a better learning experience and a growing experience. You learn quicker when you fail your way to success than if you're successful all the time. And then you run into some roadblock and you're like, and your whole world collapsed. You feel like you failed. I gave it, it's all gone. I mean, I know so many people that have lost it, got it back, lost it again, got it back. I mean, it's just the reinvention wheel, I guess, in terms of how you do it. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Some of the other common things that come up in sessions with people that I work with, imposter syndrome is a big one.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Are you familiar with it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's essentially this kind of habit, this thought pattern that people doubt their own skills, their accomplishments and their talent. And they have this, again, it's related to this fear of being seen as like not knowing what they're talking about and fear of being exposed as a fraud. So a lot of especially new entrepreneurs get this because they start seeing everybody else out there who's already built their businesses. They're already successful. And they're like, oh, I'm never going to be like them. Or, you know, maybe they're trying to apply a process that somebody else has done and be like, it worked for them, but of course it's not going to work for me because I just don't have what it takes.
Right.
So there's, you know, there's a lot of that kind of self-doubt that early on that people experience a lot before they really.
But is that traction. That's a perception is what you're saying, right? So you perceive Kieran as this really successful executive coach. He's always been successful. He works with the best people in the world. And maybe that's true, but they don't know what really happened behind the curtain, right? The struggles that you went through, the failures, the doubt you had. Is that what you're saying? In terms of how you pursue the person versus what they really are?
Yes. So there's that point that you have no idea what that story is.
Right.
And the work that they've done to get there.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side of that, there's also the point around their level of success ultimately has absolutely nothing to do with you and what you're actually capable of creating in your business.
Right. There's no correlation. There's no connection. Nothing.
Exactly. It's a story though that we kind of tell in our own heads.
In our head, yeah.
And it, again, that's something that holds people back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the first, like your first time doing something. Like the first time you come across that problem, the first time you try to get your business started. And when it's not the first time, it's a lot easier. I was talking to somebody, we were doing an interview. I forget which interview, you know, I do a lot of interviews on podcasts. I think I've done 100, so I can't remember everybody I spoke to, but recently we were talking about how I know what it was. I was on the Inspired Attorney with Sharon V. She's got a video podcast out of Florida. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how with young attorneys, you know, sometimes it's just the first time. Like, don't expect too much. You know, I'm not saying not have goals and be challenged and try hard, but it's okay to fail. Like, I would expect it, you know. And you know, the first time you go to court, it's probably not going to go too well. Judge is going to yell at you. The other attorney is going to embarrass you. You're going to forget something. That's probably what's going to happen. You know, your first negotiation, you're going to get pounded into the sand. And sometimes if you have that expectation, it doesn't go as poorly as you think, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next time, you know, we learn and we grow. And I think it's a common misconception it's not a misconception. It's a common, like, what's the word? Like angst, anxiety that you get from the first time you're doing something because you just don't know what the hell you're doing. And if you took an approach that said, like you said, I'm putting myself out there, I'm going to fail. I don't know what I'm going to fail at. But it's not a question of if I fail or if I don't fail. I will fail at something because that's what happens when that happens. Yeah, right. What am I going to do? And that's what happens when we put ourselves out there. Relationships, right? So you're young and you're dating, you're not married and you have a relationship and she breaks your heart, right? Whoever you're dating breaks your heart. Do you never go on a date again because you felt so vulnerable? Oh my God, they ripped my heart out of my chest. I never want to feel that way again. No, because you want to feel the success and the good feelings that go with a relationship and a love and marriage and children, all the stuff that comes with it. But you have to be vulnerable to that potential failure to people. But you know, at the end of the day in business, right? You're speaking, you're doing something. I was going to boo you off the stage. I mean, you give a presentation, it doesn't go so well. Some people aren't so impressed. They're not gonna boo, you suck. It's just not gonna happen. I know we think about stuff like that. Yeah. So a lot of it's like you like deflating the balloon, right? And getting them less anxious about
a
little psychology involved, I guess. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. We talk about what is that worst case scenario? Because that's where our brain goes. Worst case scenario. Right. let's talk about, all right, what are all those things that you imagine happening?
Right.
How realistic do you think that is?
Yeah,
and then we
exactly.
talk about what are all the other reasons why that's actually not going to happen?
Right.
Right. No, and that's what is exercise. what's in your control that you can prepare ahead of time to make sure that those things don't happen. On right. the point around like expecting that failure is part of the process, for any of the parents or really anybody out there, think about the first time if you're teaching a young kid how to ride a bike. What are you going to say to them when they are like, no, I'm going to fall the first time? Like, the kid's not expecting, and you're not expecting them to be able to ride the bike the first time they get on the bike.
No,
that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe there are some kids out there, who knows, but.
Yeah, but they probably fall at the end of the block. Like, they get right, going and then boom, because they don't have the experience about putting your feet down and stopping the brakes and what, they don't.
Right. So if we wouldn't expect a kid to be able to ride a bike perfectly the first time, why would we expect ourselves anytime we do anything for the first time to do it?
Well, because we're adults and we know everything, and now we're grown up and we're supposed to we're supposed to be perfect and things like that. Yeah. But look, the most successful people definitely fail their way to success. There's nobody who's never had challenges and failed, because it's just part of life. It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. That's where the opportunities come from. That's where the invention comes from. What do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Right.
Because you're forced to think that way. I think that if we didn't face challenges, like look at all the businesses now that have reinvented themselves or pivoted, or although somebody told me recently, she doesn't like the word pivot, because if you pivot far enough, you're back where you started. So I thought that was a good point. But, you know, change the way they're doing business, how they deal with their customers, collaborating with other local businesses or whatever. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't enter this pandemic and they weren't forced to think outside the box. Now, there's obviously bad things about what happened, right? Including the 200,000+ people that died and all the things that have come out of this. But there are, you know, better things and silver linings and opportunities that, you know, people who recognize that this is a way for me to now do things differently going forward are better off. I think the best business owners know, as you do, change is part of the game, right? If you recognize that things will always change and you just adjust and take advantage of opportunities, then okay. You know, when does it stop changing? Death, I guess, right? That's basically what it is, because challenges are the sign of life.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of highlight maybe the third thing that tends to come up a lot with entrepreneurs that I work with. And it's kind of, again, it's around this balance of the business and managing your time and the stress of it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have this picture of entrepreneurship or of running a business that it has to be this amazingly stressful, like really difficult experience. And one, it's literally not true. Like, there are people running businesses today who are not stressed out, who have incredible balance, spend as much time with their family as they want and need to. There are people who are incredibly happy running their business. They don't feel like they're constantly busy, scrambling, doing a bunch of crazy activity to feel like they're productive.
Right.
The people who are able to do that are the people who understand the things that move the needle for their business and intensely focus on those things.
Yeah, they understand their metrics, their performance indicators, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for people out there maybe who are feeling that stress, right? Who are feeling like, I feel like things are really forced right now. Or I feel like things aren't as simple or as, I'm not going to say effortless, because running a business isn't effortless, but you want it to kind of feel in rhythm. Like you want it to kind of feel like if you're swinging on a swing set, you know, it takes some work to kind of get it going, right?
Right.
But then eventually, you're still doing some work and you're swinging back and forth, but the amount, like you're not straining yourself to continue swinging.
Not at all.
So where people should want, or I, in my opinion, would want to get to in their business is to that place where they're in rhythm. They kind of have habits and processes that kind of dictate the way that they operate and that allow them to adapt to change.
For sure.
And so that's, you know, when it comes to forming the right habits, both personally and in your business, that's where I spend a lot of time focusing with people, because that's formation is a huge issue.
Right.
We try to form them in ways that just don't scientifically wouldn't make sense for them to work.
Right.
So that's why we're not able to stick to them.
Right. Yeah. And it drives quality of life. There's no question about it. And happiness in your business and things. I think the best analogy is like, if you're in, you know, when a commuter jet takes off, its engines are going full force and, you know, full throttle because it won't get off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. If it just did the speed at which the engines go at cruising, you'd never get off the ground. You'd just be like, oh, and like just above the treetops. And mm-hmm. And once you get up there, the engines pull back a little bit. You're dealing with the major issues. You're watching your instruments. You're dealing with whatever else is going on. And that's kind of how your business, you want your business to be. And then you come in for a landing, kind of like when you do the succession of who takes over the business or whatever. And that's kind of what it is. If you don't do the ramp up and the stuff you need to do to really get it to take off and really learn how to work on your business, you're never going to really get to the point where you want them to be, right? Mm-hmm. Which is cruising altitude. Yeah. You know,
right.
And you don't have to put that kind of effort in. You know, it's not like it doesn't have to be. I think it was Mike Michalowicz, you know, with his books where he talks about entrepreneurial poverty. Mm-hmm. A lot of entrepreneurs that are just slaves to their business. They, you know, right. they just get by. It's cash flow. They're dealing with the fires, like you said. They right. come in maybe with a little list of the things I want to do for the day. None of them happen because they're dealing with stuff and they got to kind of get somebody else to do that stuff. And sometimes you can't because of money. But you got to learn how to get there, like build up your revenue so you can start yeah. to outsource things, even from a virtual standpoint. You don't have to hire a staff if you're mm-hmm. a small business, right? I mean, especially in the tech business, they got people all over the world they're using, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those are good advice you're giving for people.
Yeah. You said that really well. Some people are like, they probably started their business partially because they wanted the freedom of kind of dictating their own schedule, being able to do something that they enjoy more. Create a lifestyle for them and their family that they really want. But oftentimes it escalates into this thing where it's all consuming.
Right.
And that leads you to neglect either family or physical health or your mental health or your spiritual health. And that's like, I don't want that for people. I want people to be able to have their business running really smoothly. And then also have every other area of their life in a place where they actually want it and enjoy it. So
yeah.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think all this stuff is good. So let's put in the show notes, like how people can get in touch with you. I guess they can follow you on social media. I know you post a lot of stuff mm-hmm. And, you know, reach out to you. Do you offer like a consult with people yep. to give them an idea yep. what you do?
Yeah. Right, so free consult. So we can put a link to that on it's on my website. People can book some time with me. Yeah. And then we can share links to social for sure.
Okay, good. So do you have any more thoughts? This is your show. So
let me see if there's anything else I want to share. Covered foster care. That's always fun.
Covered a lot of good
covered
stuff.
The business. Yeah,
no question about it. You know, it's funny. I find I get a lot of business owners that come on and I talk to them. I never really ask them all the time, but I wonder how many of them actually work with a coach. I probably could pick out a half a dozen of them that do just by knowing how successful they are and how on top yeah. of everything they are. They can't be doing it themselves. Like, you're not just born that way. You need to develop those skills. And then there's other people I can definitely pick out that without insulting them, need a coach. No question about it. They're not, or if they're using a coach, they ought to change coaches. Need to
get a new one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big problem. You know, I don't coach with anybody. I mentor with a lot of people because I help them. You know, we change services. It's the way life works. And I do stuff for them. They do stuff for me. But I don't know. I know so many coaches. It's hard to pick, you know, to find a good fit. So maybe that's a good way to kind of end things and wrap them up. Is
sure.
that, you know, what's your advice about somebody if they're choosing a coach? How do you go through the process? Because everybody, if they're networking, probably knows 2,600 coaches, right? Because there's all kinds of different coaches. They have life coaches and business coaches and this and that. What's your recommendation to how somebody would evaluate you and also evaluate like actual picking a coach? What kind of road do you go down with that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So a few pieces of advice I'd share kind of in this arena. One, I'll just say, don't work with a coach who doesn't work with a coach themselves.
Okay. That's good advice.
If they don't,
like an investment guy who isn't successful in investing in what he's telling you to invest in.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. If they don't see the value in it and enough to be investing in it for themselves, that might be a red flag.
Okay.
So something to keep in mind, maybe a question to ask any coaches that you talk to.
Right.
Secondly, I'd say, you know, you want to find the right fit. Certainly you want to understand like, what do you need? What are you looking to get out of working with a coach? And most coaches will offer, like I do, a consult that's free to just talk about their approach, to talk about the problems that you're experiencing.
Right.
And you, in that conversation, you can get a feel, like you can get a feel for if you, you click and if you vibe with the person.
Yeah.
And you can get to know kind of their values and the way that they approach business in general. Another way to kind of get some insight and some data on their approach, their style, and if it's a good fit for you would be to just follow some of them on social media, see what kind of content they're producing, like what value kind of are they,
leadership, right?
Exactly. What value are they putting out into the world? And do those things generally line up with where you feel like you could benefit? And
right. Do you relate to them? Does it make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. And a lot of people you're looking for are also in the more spiritual, you know, realm. And that's good. It's a, now you have a target market. It doesn't have to be everybody you work with. Who wants to work with everybody? So that's.
Yeah. So primarily, yeah, like you said, faith-driven entrepreneurs. So people who,
faith-driven,
who the way that they run their business is influenced and is informed by their
religion.
Faith.
Right.
Yeah. Specifically, I would say between half and 75% of the people that I work with are Christian business owners and entrepreneurs. Sure. The remaining quarter of people are people that either don't have any faith or have a different faith. And that's like totally fine. It's not that I don't work with people or want.
Right. No, that's just your target. Everybody needs a market. That's good advice for business owners too. You can do business with everybody, but from a marketing standpoint and a target marketing standpoint and knowing your ideal client, that doesn't mean you can't work with other people, but ideally these are the people you can service the best.
Exactly. Yep. So that's my sweet spot. Other people find me and find value in working with me. And that's great. Happy to do that. But yeah. So I think like you had mentioned, if people are interested in learning more or talking to me or looking for some guidance or some help in navigating this process of, does it make sense for me to work with a coach? If so, what path might I go down? Book a session with me, book a consult with me, and I'd be happy to talk you through that for 45 minutes to an hour, totally free. No risk at all. So feel free. We'll include a link to that with the show.
Awesome. Well, Karen, it was a pleasure to get on the microphone with you. We talked before and we do networking together, but I appreciate it.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.